Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, your weekly in the trenches take at whatever feels relevant to adult life. This week, it's something great.
It's always something great.
Next week, it probably will be too. We approach life in a very non-expert fashion.
Yes.
We will give you zero tips to help yourself in life.
I feel like we give some tips, just nothing to back them up.
All right. Well, the complete non-expert is me, Caroline. The semi-expert is...
the person who knows what they're talking about. I'm Hannah.
We are so glad that you joined us today. It is a super special episode of It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time.
That's Women's Appreciation Month still, or Women's Month. Women's Appreciation Month?
Sure.
Women's Month. I don't...
Yes, both. Both and.
Yes.
It is. And we are doing a month-long celebration of women.
Yes.
So hopefully when you listen to this, whatever month you're listening to, you feel like we are celebrating you as a woman.
Yes. Year-round, we are for women.
Always.
That wasn't clear.
But it is not just us today. We are super excited to be welcoming our second interview guest to the podcast. Her name is Jen Eddins. You may know her from the blog Peanut Butter Runner. You might follow her on Instagram at Jen_PB Runner. She teaches yoga. She has a health and fitness blog, healthy living blog, and is overall just a super inspiring person. And we're really excited to chat with her today.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get into that, we thought we would just open up with some of our happenings of the week. What's been going on?
Oh, gosh.
Did you have a good weekend? It's daylight savings.
Yeah, we did. Surprisingly, it's gone well. I am tricked into thinking my kids are sleeping in.
Right.
I know that they're not. We have early risers. But you put out on Insta stories going into the weekend asking for tips, and we got some really, really great ones.
We did. We got a lot of good feedback, a lot of wine emojis, which I support, obviously.
Yep. But we just chose to treat it like it wasn't happening. We didn't do anything differently.
It's very off-brand.
Yeah, weird. I just didn't think about it. but, you know, it has surprisingly worked in our favor.
Yeah, well, I made the joke on Instagram, and I hope it landed, that I spent the whole week getting my kids to bed earlier, and you did nothing because your kids go to bed right after lunch anyway.
That's 100% correct.
The running joke, because your kids go to bed so early and your poor daughter stares out her window.
Yeah,
at all the other kids playing.
Yeah, that is true. My youngest two go to bed at 5:30. We have not adjusted that at all for daylight savings. So it is mid-afternoon in their world. They feel like it's 4:32 right now, but they... aren't fighting it. And then my oldest,
if they're not fighting it, why mess up what works?
Yeah, my oldest goes to bed at 6:30, so 5:30, and now and her room doesn't have blinds on her dormer windows, and so I went in there last night, and she had like made this little nest to like watch out her window and all of her friends playing.
Look,
she told me all about
all the other kids.
Yeah, so she like plays orphans eating gruel in her room.
Must be nice to be out in the fresh air.
That's right. I remember what that felt like.
Yeah.
It has been working really well. But Allison, our nanny, who is an expert, actually shot over some super great tip
on
Insta stories.
Yeah.
I should have known it was her, but I didn't until later. That
fooled you.
Yeah. Should have known. It was so on brand for her expert life of give yourself a flex day.
Yes.
And have no expectations. Mm-hmm. And we did that on Sunday, and it was so lovely for everybody.
Yeah, I appreciated that, because I feel like a lot of times I just need like permission or a reminder to do those things. Like, hey, you can take it easy. Like, you don't have to like be on them all the time or something. Or like, and especially from my mom, another mom who has older kids. She's got 6 kids. So
yeah,
when she says it
it's gospel.
I'm like, what did Allison say?
Right.
But yeah, I appreciated that advice. So it was good. We got a lot of good feedback on that. And we're so far surviving. No, I don't know. It hasn't been a crash yet. I prefer this one, because now it seems like they're sleeping to regular hours instead of waking up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of lagging, but...
Yeah, it is weird. You know, when it gets dark early, you feel like you have no concept of what life is.
Right.
Even
Everything
though you've gained an hour. Yeah. But this time I'm like, I am dragging.
I know. But the older you get it, the more of it, like, an issue it is.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to treat myself as though it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
I have not fooled me.
Maybe she meant, Allison meant for us as well.
Yeah, exactly. Allison at us with what you
really
meant.
What should we do for us?
Give us advice.
Yeah. After this break, we're going to get into it with Jen. and talk about some topics about health and what to do when life isn't really going exactly the way you planned.
All right, welcome back. We are back from our break, and we are so excited today to be joined, as I mentioned earlier, by the lovely Jen Eddins. Hi, Jen.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight.
We are excited to have you. So a little bit of background. Jen and I worked together, it feels like decades ago, at an ad agency. I was such a fangirl of her original blog, Bacon and Eggs.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if you even remember this, but you came to like drop off a file at my desk, and I was like, I have a blog too, and I read your blog, and I think it's really great.
Oh, you probably don't even remember. I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
No, you were super nice. You were very kind. I'm sure you were like, okay, that's really cute.
I was so new to blogging back then. I was probably like
scared.
Like, oh my God, somebody reads it. That's probably where I was.
Well, I was like 21, and I'm sure I was like rabid. I thought I was playing it cool, but I'm sure I was like actively sweating anyway. But then after that, Jen started teaching yoga, and I would say is solely responsible for my love of yoga. Her classes were hands down my favorite, and I don't think that I ever loved yoga until I went to Jen's class.
I just remember you so vividly, like sweating it out. You showed up.
I was there. Not a natural, but Jen showed a lot of grace.
You were all in, though. So, yeah.
Very in.
That's awesome.
But we're super glad to have you today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so Jen is the mom of a precious 9-month-old boy. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Finn?
Yeah. So my son, his name's Finn, and he'll be 10 months old in just a few days. It's like time is flying.
It flies.
If I had a dollar for everybody that said, soak it up, it goes so fast, yeah, I would probably already be able to pay for his college education. But it really does go so fast. But he is amazing. He's the light of my life. Like, just makes me smile. He's such a good-natured, happy, fun guy.
That's perfect.
I'm just having so much fun being his mom.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He looks precious. Like, he just looks like he's so happy to be there.
He has so much personality. It's just crazy, like, how that develops so early.
Yeah.
And just this last week, he's learned how to wave. And it is the cute. He just holds his hand up, and he's just like,
doing
the cutest thing. Yes.
That's adorable.
I do believe that how they are, and you could disagree with me if you wanted to, but don't. I do believe that, like, the personality that they have at this stage really is kind of the personality that they have. At least with my girls, I feel like how they were around 9 months has kind of been how they have been.
Do you agree? I agree. I'm trying to think why I would disagree.
I don't know. Like, maybe, well, you had said that, like, Milan wasn't like a super happy baby.
Oh yeah. In that he wasn't. Yeah. Okay. He wasn't like Finn. I don't feel like, where it's like, oh my gosh, this kid is always smiling. He was very serious.
Yeah.
He wasn't unhappy. He was just very serious.
Well, he still kind of is, I guess.
Yeah.
That
he's,
was right.
He's a serious kid.
Like, yeah.
But my daughter is, she's very
all smiley.
Yeah. So, they are just very different.
I really do think that you can see little pieces of their personality throughout their whole life.
Well, I was trying this weekend to explain to Norbeth how she would always be my baby. And she was like,
she was like,
when I grow up, I will get back in your belly.
And
I was
like, she probably will.
Anyone will find, later I was like, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And she was like, a baby in your belly.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, well, gird my own loins.
I'm glad that you're like documenting that right now.
Exactly.
It's like in the vault.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, share with us the cool workout you did this weekend.
Yeah, well, so I used to be like, when I was pregnant with Maya, I found yoga.
Mm-hmm. Or yoga found
like religion.
You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I found like a great prenatal yoga class.
Oh, okay.
And I've just been obsessed with it ever since then. I credit it for a huge difference between my first labor and my second labor and delivery. And I just like kind of fell away from it in the last year. Our gym was going through renovations and just, you know, your body, like what you need for yourself changes.
Totally.
So I just wanted to focus on like my own things and not be told what to do. plug in my earbuds and just work out. But now Caroline sent me this at-home bar workout.
Yeah.
And now I want to get into that. But we talk about women's health a lot because it's something I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not something that gets a lot of attention. And yet, like, what women, heart disease is still the number one killer of women.
Yep.
And there's so many ways, like, I feel like yoga is a good way to, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, yoga is a good way to know your own body more. And maybe more people need to get into that? Like, you know, what do you...
Well, one thing that we talk about a lot is that yoga is sort of like the counterpose to life.
Oh, so, I like that.
You know how, like, in yoga, there's pose, counterpose. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you do a big open posture, and then you fold forward, like mm-hmm, back bend, mm-hmm. forward bend. So we always say that yoga is the counterpose to life. Because if you think about it, especially as women and as, like, busy moms, we're juggling a ton of things. Everybody's go, go, go. And stress, like, yeah. in mm-hmm. addition to heart disease, like, the effects that stress is having on people's yeah. health,
right.
it's extremely
yeah.
damaging and hard. So yoga is such an amazing tool for helping people learn mindfulness. And I was just talking to my classes last week about this, is it doesn't have to be like you sit and you meditate for 30 minutes a day, or you have to make it to a 60-minute yoga class. Like, mm-hmm. if your yoga class teaches you that in a really hard parenting moment, or in a really difficult discussion at work, or trying to hash something out with your partner, if you can stop and take a deep breath,
yes.
and just have that tool, it's just amazing and something that people really need these days.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's a good point.
I do agree. And, you know, I haven't been on the mat in a while. When we were going through fertility treatments with Nora Beth, I was encouraged not to do hot yoga, which then I didn't really want to do it not hot. Like, yeah. I actually used some of your YouTube videos at
home.
Oh, I
didn't know you have YouTube videos.
Just a few. I'm goal to do more, but
again, we have it in the vault.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. But even still, I feel like it's the one workout where I'm really not thinking about anything except that workout. Like, even now I'll go to the gym and be like, okay, but at least I can read, or I'll be reading and zone out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm still thinking, we talk a lot about mental load here, you know, of, mm-hmm. okay, but still I could order groceries online, and let me just check this email and post a social media post. And, like, but when I'm on my mat, I have no other option.
Right.
Like, this is it. And because I'm not good at yoga, I'm like, I have to be thinking about it, but in a way that I abandon the rest of it, and, like, I'm in my body.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, like, one of the greatest benefits of power yoga, especially hot mm-hmm. power yoga. It's so hot and you're moving yeah. and, like, you're just trying to do the poses, so
just
you can't
surviving.
Think about anything else. Yes. So I always tease my classes. I'm like, I don't know how to teach an easy yoga class,
yeah.
but this is for your own benefit.
I'm like,
you're not thinking about anything else
yeah.
when you're in here.
That's a good point.
I am there just for the cold lavender towel at the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't, just get me to that. So
it's such a, like, let go, like, sense
yeah.
of accomplishment. I've made it through this.
Mm-hmm.
I've breathed through all this stuff. And again, it's a direct reflection of, if I can breathe through this 60 minutes of hot, hard yoga,
mm-hmm.
I can breathe through the stuff that's going to happen to me the rest of this week, and
yeah.
I can make it through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that yoga should be hard and a struggle and suffering,
right.
but just being able to tap into your own strength and
mm-hmm.
believe in your ability to breathe through through something that pushes you to your edges
is
an incredible gift to people.
That's true.
And I think motherhood is so hard, the way yoga is so hard to me, but it feels so good,
good
in
point.
Doing
good
it.
Good analogy.
That is a great analogy.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, when you were saying that, I was thinking about, like, what is my cold lavender towel these days? But I was thinking, like, after I get all three girls in bed, because David is not home at night to do bedtime, and I know you can relate to this because you're doing it solo, that, like, once they're in bed and I'm downstairs, that's like Savasana, right? It's like, I can do whatever. So maybe I need to start stocking some cold lavender towels. I'll have Hannah come over and just,
you're like, all three are down.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm just taking Savasana. This is my yoga practice.
David will come home.
Okay.
And I'm just, like, spread eagle on the kitchen floor. I'm like, this is yoga. Get out of here.
It totally is.
What else do you feel like for you is super vital to your health now, even postpartum, than before you had Finn?
Oh, gosh. Family.
Yeah.
Connections, friends, support.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking before we started the show on sustainable versus unsustainable paces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I realized until I had a baby that the pace that I was living my life at was unsustainable and just really not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been close to my family. I've always had a great friend network, but it's like it went next level after
mm-hmm.
I had Finn. And I just realized that all of this, these relationships, these connections, do so much more for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love my work, and I feel really lucky to love my work so much. But nothing compares to, you know, the time that I can spend with Finn
right.
or with my family with Finn
mm-hmm.
and leaning on my friends, you know, to support each other. And it, like, that has become so vital for me in the postpartum period. Whereas before, I wouldn't say like I was a bad friend or a bad daughter, but, you know, I was very focused on my work, which is fine because there's a,
there's a time for that.
But this is definitely my season to step back and focus more on love.
Isn't it cool to get to a place where you can reprioritize and shift things and even appreciate I wasn't doing something wrong before, but this is more right. Like,
for right now.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to change.
Yeah. That's something I have. I would think we were just talking about maybe last week, like, looking at, like, even like week by week and say, like, okay, what worked this week? Because kids change so quickly. And like, at this stage, this works. At the next stage, it might not. But like, for right now, this works, and you can change one day. Like, I get very future minded and like long term minded. And I say, like, well, I can make it to this yoga class now, but what about when Milan's in kindergarten? Why? That's not, that does not need to even like enter my mind right now.
Yeah.
So, and you were saying something that we both loved before we started recording about you, guard specific days, which I thought was so good. Do you want to say it again?
Tell us more.
Exactly
that.
Like that.
Well, I definitely have more to share on that. I know about myself that blocking works well for me. Have y'all ever?
Yes. Like, I'm just figuring this out too.
Time blocking, when I was working 7 days a week, if I am running all over town and teaching this class and running this errand and then trying to do this for on my computer for 30 minutes, I get nothing done.
Yeah.
Like, I need to block out, like, okay, this is going to be my time for appointments and whatever, and this is going to be my time to sit down on the computer for 4 hours and crank. So I've always been a fan of blocking, but I've kind of taken it beyond day blocking now into week blocking. So I work from home a lot on my computer, which I'm so grateful to have that flexibility through my blog and everything. But then I also teach. So I've consolidated my teaching to like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I'm really holding strong boundaries around that. And then I'm also doing things that really fill me up when I do choose to work on the other days, things like 200-hour yoga teacher trainings or travel workshops. So they're the big things that have always been goals for me, and I've created the space to be able to do that, especially now when I share my son, and I make sure to plan all of that around when he's going to be with his dad so that I can be doing things that really help me feel like me and that fill me up so I can show up for him. But just holding boundaries around how all that happens.
Yeah. Which is so good. That's such a valuable thing to grasp onto, I feel like.
Do you feel like you had a hard time? So I worked previously at a job that was truly 7 days a week, same kind of thing. And even when I started freelancing instead of being in a corporate environment, I felt like my body, without even me always realizing it, became so addicted to that adrenaline that when I wasn't doing it, even still, like, I'm just shifting into a single full-time role, it's like your body is so used to having it that like it craves it and tries to like find those adrenaline sources somewhere. Have you struggled with that? I've had such a hard time with it.
Right in the immediate postpartum period, when I went from working 7 days a week, teaching every single day, to sitting on the couch with a newborn who was breastfeeding like 12 hours a day.
However long it is.
Yeah, feels like forever.
23 hours.
Yeah.
I felt like I was losing my mind. I would just have to find some way. I think we went to the grocery store every single day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I need a kombucha.
I don't know. Like, I need something.
But now, like, I feel like it took me a while to, I think the best word for it is to recalibrate.
I like that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And now I really cherish and hold on really tightly to these days that I try to keep things clear and don't have a lot scheduled. And sometimes Finn and I will go a whole weekend and we might only leave the house to go on walks or maybe to the grocery once, but I don't feel like
for
I
that
need
kombucha.
To fill.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like for the whole week shopping because, you know, we're settled in a little more, but I don't feel such a need to fill space anymore. And I think that's also been a huge gift that motherhood has given me is it's almost like practicing meditation because you're practicing being present for your child.
Yes.
Oh, that's
whereas
good.
Before I felt like what you were saying, I constantly needed to be
doing,
stimulated and doing. And let's not get things wrong. I'm not like that whole sleep when the baby sleeps. I don't think I ever took a nap when Finn was napping. I was like, what can I be doing?
Right. Exactly.
I'm still me and I still do a lot, but I've definitely, I feel like, tamed it a little bit.
I read a super interesting article. I don't know. I don't think I sent it to you because sometimes I worry that I send you too many articles that I find.
I do not have that worry.
It was about this addiction to busy. And, you know, I hate the glorification of busy, though I do it, but I hate it. But it was talking about basically our addiction to doing things is this weird parallel form of laziness, and that we are so busy it keeps us from living life. So where laziness, you're so living your life that you don't do anything. Busyness is like the exact opposite, that you book yourself so much that it's this excuse not to live life.
Right. And to like be bored or like let yourself sit with your thoughts.
Well, I'll send it to Hannah and we'll link it in the show notes. But I read it right before the weekend, and on Sunday, you know, we had shared right before you joined us, Jen, about my nanny had shared with us, like, after a time change, schedule a flex day where you give your kids like total grace to do whatever. You don't schedule anything. But for me, that was for me as well. Like, I realized if Norbeth's like, can we play, or Anna Blair wants to play with me, I'll be like, okay, great. As soon as I empty the dishwasher, start the crock pot, whatever, check this email. But I was like, I am so addicted to feeling like I have to do something that it's keeping me from doing that. And I told you, I sat with Norbeth during quiet time and played Barbies for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And as much as I know it filled her cup, I realized like it filled mine too, that I started this week without being already in mom guilt.
Right.
Like my cup was like empty of that. Yeah. So anyway, it was an interesting concept I had never considered before. We are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to dive into our good idea topic today.
Okay, we thought we would get into a topic today that we haven't really, I don't know if we've gotten into that much before, about what to do when life isn't really what you planned. There's a concept in writing, especially fiction writing, that's you're either a plotter or a pantser. Have you heard of this?
No, but tell me more about it.
Either you like plot out your novels and like have like a whole plan going in and a outline and all that, or you just fly by the seat of your pants.
Oh, that's me. I'm the second
I'm like mostly, like I kind of find myself somewhere in the middle, and I don't know if that's Passan, my husband's influence at all, because he's such a planner.
Right.
Whereas like by nature, I think I'm more, like in life, I think I'm more of a pantser.
Why do you, I see. Okay.
But like I can see myself like planning a little
pantser. I was like, I don't understand this term.
I know.
Oh,
I thought it was like
by the
prancer.
I was like, man, she sounds like a total moron. She can't say prancer.
Pantser, like fly
out of your pants. Pantser.
Okay, cool. You're welcome, everyone else who thought the same thing.
Anyway, so I think by nature I'm a little bit more of a pantser.
Okay, good. I'm tracking with you now. Now I understand where you're coming
from. Yeah, so, but I think, because, I mean, I just have more of a tendency to think, like, everything will be fine.
Oh, that's
it'll
me.
All be, it'll all work out, whereas Passan has to plan everything. And ultimately, life doesn't work out that way.
Sure.
And so I just want to know, like, where you two fall, like, on that spectrum.
Oh, from a plotter or a pantser. So for me, I am very much, I'm kind of both. Mm-hmm. But not like even middle of the road. I am very much a plotter and very much a pantser. Like I can tell you what like 18 years from now will look like all of that. I have it sketched out. But on the day to day, like even with daylight savings time, like it did not surprise me when I was like, I just pretended it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, like I am very like in the moment, like whatever.
Right.
However, like I internally have this infrastructure of like, this is how it's going to be. And then when it doesn't go that way, I feel myself like tense up for life. What about you, Jen?
I think that I'm a plotter turned pantser.
Oh,
okay.
you're reformed.
I think, I don't know that I'd call it reformed. I think life is like, here, learn this.
It's a joke.
You can't control everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that I've been a surrender of the plot.
Like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's how my mom
let's just do it.
That's how my mom is like, she's always been a planner, but like life has dealt her a bunch of stuff. And she's like, I have no choice. And I don't know at what point, like, you start to kind of try to take control back. And then like you get B-I-T-C-H, I couldn't spell it, slapped to be like, oh, wait, I forgot. I can't.
We can just say it at this point. We warn people this might not be kid friendly anymore.
Oh, that's right. All right. Bitch slapped. And to be like, oh, wait, I have to let go of that.
Right.
I don't know, like, when it sticks. Does it ever?
Yeah.
I really think that control is an illusion.
Oh, God, yes. That's the worst.
I think the only thing that we can control is just, you know, our own actions and decisions and all that. And
yeah,
one of the biggest things I've had to let go of is the idea that I can control jobs, other people.
Yeah.
Any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have like actual like action steps that you walk yourself through when you're in a situation where you feel out of control, or are you just like, okay, I guess I'll just deal with this later?
Right.
You know, like,
I would say definitely the whole like practice the pause and try not to react and take the deep breath, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just for me, remembering, regardless of the situation, all the times you've been in kind of a little bit of a shitty situation before,
yeah,
and how you always make it to the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I always come back to, like, for me, faith is so important to my life, and spirituality is so important that I'm like, okay, for me, God didn't get me here to trick me. Like,
exactly.
He doesn't work that way. I don't know what faith or religion you are, but to me, I'm not set up for failure, though I might fail in the moment. So I have to remind myself of that, even though there's so much grief, there's so much trial that can overshadow that sometimes. Do you, like...
I was thinking, this is reading, like, season 7 Game of Thrones plot lines.
Well, that is often what people say about me.
Yeah, I know. I know you're a huge fan.
Never watched it.
But I was going to say, so you were not, like, planning to be... Like, some people plan to be single mothers, and they plan to have a child on their own. That was never part of your plan.
No.
So...
Hard stuff.
Yeah.
I think going back to what we were just talking about and getting through the moments that are not going like you planned or that are hard or whatever, in addition to the pause and taking the deep breath, and I've made it through so many hard things before.
Right.
I think it's also really being able to step back and look at what is the lesson that I'm being called to learn here.
Sure.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
That is really
and
good.
For me, this definitely isn't the way that I wanted to have a family, but I feel like I've been given a choice in how to, I can look at it. You know, I can be a victim of my circumstance, or I can grow a whole freaking ton from this. And, you know, when you're in the throes of postpartum and you just had a baby, since I've had permission to do this, shit is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you, especially with your first baby, you're just like, you've never, it's like a whole new world.
It's very overwhelming.
People can tell you about it, but nothing until you walk through it really prepares you for how much it like rocks your world.
Yeah.
So, you know, dealing with just that shift in my life along with all the hormone shifts that are taking place and just trying to get to an even keel, it was really difficult at first, but now that, you know, I'm 9 months into it, I'm able to step back and still acknowledge that this is hard and this isn't how I wanted it to be, but also look how amazing and how much I can grow from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good perspective.
So I think we're always given a choice in what energy we're going to take with us from the difficult things that we go through.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we've alluded to this a little bit in previous episodes, and David gave me permission to talk about this, but David has been sober just over 2 years. And that means that through two of my three children, he was not. But it completely blindsided me. Like, I never would have said, oh, when I have my first baby, my husband's going to be near rock bottom of an alcohol addiction. And I have a choice to make of how do I let this define how I parent this teeny tiny baby and then get blindsided again with a second baby of it's going to be different this time and then it's not. But ultimately, I felt like I want to be able to say to my girls, like, look at the perseverance. Mm-hmm. Not that, oh, I am so strong, even necessarily, but even through the weakness, there's perseverance here mm-hmm. that I want to show you. That, like,
that you would model.
Yeah, that I wouldn't change anything. It doesn't define their newborn days that I was also walking through horrible grief in that of, like, I don't know what this marriage is. I'm seeing my partner, like, completely broken down. Mm-hmm. And I have to choose to be both of those things for these girls. But there is, I think, on the other side of it, so much more joy because we've gotten through that, that we can say, well, look how it compared. So I would feel like for you, Jen, even if you don't always see it now, the joy on the other side to be able to show Finn, like, I was certainly handed a deck of cards that I didn't expect, but the joy that I can experience because I experienced it hand in hand with grief mm-hmm. makes it that much sharper and, like, that much richer
well,
because of that.
One thing, it's so interesting that you say that I'm constantly dialoguing with my therapist about mm-hmm. is the whole idea of paradox.
Yes.
And that it really is okay and possible to hold great joy and great love and great grief and great mm-hmm. sadness at the same time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
And my prayer is that I can raise a child, a son who is emotionally intelligent and that mm-hmm. can understand
yes.
his feelings. And I want to be strong for him, but I also want, you know, I feel like my life's goal or mission or assignment.
Sure.
Life's
yeah.
assignment for me is to soften and to be more vulnerable mm-hmm. and to open more. So I don't want to, you know, just patch things over and be like, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Finn
right.
to understand, like, a spectrum of emotions, and it's okay to be sad, but I still love you very much. Mm-hmm. I was feeling a lot of guilt in the really early days that I felt like the energy of my sadness and my grief mm-hmm. and my shame and was
yeah.
going to
yeah,
Finn. Like, and I didn't want that to be, like, imprinted on him
mm-hmm.
as
right.
a newborn. But at the same time, my heart had never loved somebody so much before.
Right.
So, yeah, it's having so much grace with yourself. And I just would be so interested, where do you feel like you draw your strength from in those, you know, in your situation or when you find yourself there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely from the experience of my mom, who has walked through a lot of grief, and I've seen what she's modeled for me of, to your point, not only can you be both, but I feel like they counteract each other. Like, you can't experience joy that great until you've experienced mourning that low. Like,
yeah.
there it is reverse proportioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to know, like, okay, if I'm in the pit here, that has to mean that what I will experience on the way out of that is even greater.
Right.
Like, because I know you went through some fertility issues like we did, and then we had a miscarriage, and it felt like I've never felt that empty and that gutted trying to have this child. But that means when I do get to hold this baby, like, not that anybody takes their child for granted, but I also know for 2 years and the loss of a child, my arms feel that much fuller
yeah.
because of that. So that's part of it. I mean, faith is part of it. And then I do just really feel like, as cliche as it sounds, things happen for a reason at the time that they happen. Like, when my dad left our lives, we found out about his double life when I was in labor with Norbeth. And so to me, like, the thing that tore our family apart the most was also very literally the day that our family was also born.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine anything more perfect than that. Though at the time, I was so angry and resentful. But now, you know, there's some perspective in that. You know, like, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
I would, but that means that this wouldn't look like this looks like now. So the
right.
goodness I experience now wouldn't look the same. And I wouldn't trade this or compromise it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That doesn't really answer your question. It's just a lot
it
of
does.
Words. But
it's good.
Yeah.
I like
there
that.
You go. How about you, Hannah? Do you feel like there are things that you had planned for yourself when you were younger that it just looks different? It doesn't even have to be bad. It could be better than. But it's, you know, everyone always says, like, I was the best parent until I had my own. You know, that, like,
I think I thought that I would enjoy actually parenting more than I actually do.
Yeah.
Like, I think I thought that it would, it's like, that would be enough for me. And
right.
I've talked about before how it's not like I also like actively need to pursue things for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are people out there who feel that, that there's something wrong with them
mm-hmm.
if that's not like enough.
Right.
And it's not, there's nothing wrong with my children. I wouldn't want to like give that off. It's nothing. It's not that I don't absolutely love the choices that I made in having them. It's just that I also like fully believe in following my own passions too.
Did you have a hard time reconciling that for
yeah.
yourself?
What yeah. did this that look like? This is like new-ish for me.
Right. What did that reconciliation process look like?
It just looked like a lot of personal unhappiness without me figuring out why.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of trying to figure out like, well, what could I do? I tried a lot of things that I didn't love. And that was even more frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
In that I like would just kind of force myself to do things thinking, well, I've got to do something. I just like needed something else and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, no.
And so I tried programming and like, I just felt like I was forcing myself to do stuff and mm-hmm. I hated it. And this is not to say, I mean, it's a different kind of thing, I think. It just took me a while to figure out, like, I'm really in charge of making my own schedule. I'm in charge of whatever I want my life to look like.
Right.
And also, it took me a while to feel empowered enough to say, you are what you are, without, like, someone giving you the permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was talking to you about, like, when you decided to become a freelancer, I was like, you just said you were going to do that. Like, no one like gave you permission. Like, I always like wait for permission.
Right.
So like with no one hiring me to like write for them, I was like, well, no one's going to hire me to write for them. So I'm not a writer.
Right. Right.
But like,
you were waiting for a circumstance to define
right.
you.
Yes. Yes.
You
exactly.
probably, I mean, because you're in a similar path that we have been of, you left a corporate role mm-hmm. to kind of create your own passion project life.
Right.
Did you have to kind of reconcile that a little bit in your head? If this isn't what I expected this to look like, and did you have a hard time defining that, like Hannah's kind of talking about?
Well, yeah. When we were talking earlier about plotting and pantsing, you know, my plot the whole time I was growing up and in college, like, oh, I'm going to go to business school. I'm mm-hmm. going to work in corporate America. I'm going to travel all over the world. Like, I'm going to wear a suit.
Yeah.
So that was very much my picture of what success was.
Right.
And I didn't even mean to become self-employed. It just sort of...
Yeah, you fell into it.
Like, fell into it. I wasn't miserable in my job. Yeah. I enjoyed working in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like these doors kept opening and you mm-hmm. had to walk through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the greatest benefit for me has been to stay really open-minded
mm-hmm.
and not to really get attached to one certain path having to look a certain way or a certain job title. Like, oh, well, if this doesn't align with what I thought it was going to look like, I can't do it.
Right.
Like, in my path yeah. of self-employment and kind of creating my own thing, it has been, I've gone everywhere from being the manager of a gym to a CrossFit coach. Like, I don't even know what that was about. to cooking meals for somebody in their house every week and
oh,
leaving
wow.
them in their fridge to,
that's awesome.
Like, you know. Yeah.
It's like your dream come true.
Yeah,
like.
That is. Yeah.
At me your address.
Like, yeah. Marketing and social media, freelance. It's
yeah.
just, it's kind of like something comes your way and you're like, oh, okay. Well, if it feels like something I want to explore,
mm-hmm.
I'm not like, oh, I'm not a personal chef. I can't do this for you.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I love
sure.
to cook. You want to pay me that much to make meals for you?
Okay.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
Let's see how this goes.
Now
yeah.
I am a personal chef.
So
yeah. Here's my business card.
It's yeah. kind of like just staying open, I guess,
yeah.
to possibility without like pigeonholing yourself into like one
yeah.
thing. Because
yeah.
I don't know.
I definitely feel like I pigeonhole myself too much.
Mm. But, you know, I think about it like
better
with...
at it, but...
Yeah, but, you know, I think about it, like, as you parent, like, you don't know what Milan and Maya's gifts are going to be. Well, you know that Milan's going to be a basketball star.
Well, yeah,
but,
obviously.
Like, you know, each
season, everyone knows that.
We're, like, you know, Norbeth's doing karate now. Do I think that she's going to be, like, this martial arts professional? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know.
She's adorable. Look at her.
Yeah, she's
she actually
so cute
likes this one.
She does. It's much better. If you followed our basketball sagas, follow along for karate.
So thumbs down for Caroline. Thumbs up for me.
Well, she learned how to do smash elbow last week, and she's very into it. But, you know, like, as you parent your kids, you want to give them every opportunity to explore the thing that clicks for them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we kind of lose as adults because we don't have our parents being like, I see this in you, so you should do this. Like, you kind of have to advocate for yourself. So I do think that's a really good point of, like, why would I not sign my child up for something that they have any interest in?
Right.
Why would I treat myself that way of, no, I don't think
yeah,
I want to try that.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
I think this is changing a little bit now, but largely culturally, the trend is you choose what you want to do at 18.
Yep.
Yeah. And then that's it. Yeah. And you can't really, like, to the point where we've discussed, like, with David, like, mm-hmm. he's trained to be a chef. Like, once you do all that training, it's so expensive
yeah.
to get training here. It's so expensive to get a college degree. You can't just really go do something else.
Right.
There's, I think, a lot of that to work through as a culture of, like, mm-hmm. all right, it's okay that we're all still, like, 20s, 30s, 40s, and, like, maybe I want to try something else. Maybe this isn't fitting for me, or maybe I want to expand the definition of what this is. But I think that's still, like, I don't think that's fully accepted yet.
Well, and I think as women, we tend to come from a place of needing permission anyway. Mm-hmm. And so,
I mean, I do, not you.
No, that's true. But I also want to be a people pleaser. So, like, I don't need permission, but I definitely want approval on the other end of it. Like,
yeah.
I'll be like, I'll just try this. But am I really good at it?
You guys upset about that?
Yeah, or? Do you still really like me? You know, like,
am I really good at it?
I never, ever, ever, ever cry at work. It's just, it's my rule for myself. I never cry at work. But when I gave my notice to my corporate job, after I had told them I was coming back from maternity leave, and I did mm-hmm. come back, I wasn't going to tell anyone that I was leaving for a while. But mm-hmm. then that week that I came back, I realized they can hire my temp, who also needs a job, and it's going to look worse on me if I take all my projects back and then leave.
Right.
So I went on that Friday into my boss's office, who also worked at our ad agency, actually. And I closed the door, and I just started, like, sobbing. And she has this term that she called white girls crying, where she's like, all I ever see is white girls crying, and I really didn't expect it to be you. And I was like, I'm so sorry. It's just, I really don't want to work here anymore.
Like, oh, wow.
Like, my whole script, like, just fell to pieces, because I was like, I'm going to be so poised.
My email with, yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, okay. I mean, she was so, like, great, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if this is not what you want to do, don't do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I had tied so much of her approval to me yeah. on me being employed there.
Yes.
When I realized she's an employee too, she doesn't care.
Right.
And so she was like, go. And then suddenly it was like all this relief of, like, well, she said I could do it. Like, she didn't. I'd already decided.
Yeah.
But because I had her approval, I was so worried that she was going to be mad at me. And
right.
it, like, I don't know. Then it was suddenly like, I can see clear.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can do whatever I wanted yeah. because she was okay with me doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So I have recently had to start kind of thinking through how to have conversations with my kids mm-hmm. as they are getting older about, this is our reality. This is how things look. Like, my dad is very loosely in our lives. But for 31 years, he was part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to figure out how to tell stories of, like, my oldest is liking to hear stories of how we were growing up. Well, my dad was very present then. He is not anymore, and she's never known him present.
Right, present.
So I'm having to kind of work through, do I edit out how I grew up?
Yeah.
Because she has no concept that my parents even know each other. So
right.
it's like, well, this is a weird thing to try to talk to her about, of, like,
yeah.
So I just don't. I completely edit it out because I still don't know how to talk about it. Same when they're getting older, we're thinking about, okay, well, David obviously has a strong history of alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
How do we talk about that in a way that's healthy? And, like, those are all things that when I thought about having kids, I never thought of how to
yeah.
navigate these conversations. What feels like for you guys are the point of reconciling their reality with their age? Like, how do you think about broaching difficult subjects with your kids?
Yeah, I would love to hear you talk about more, too, about, like being more emotionally vulnerable. Because I think that's a tough...
Huge
not like, tough, but, like, just... It's tough in that it's not natural.
No, because I think kids don't usually see their parents as humans. You know, like, they do, but not in a way of, like, my parents have these big emotions. So I love what you said about being emotionally vulnerable. Like, how do you present that to your child?
Yeah.
Well,
you can let us know when you get there.
9 months old.
Yeah. But surely, like, you've had to think about,
I've thought about it a lot, so much. I think when you journey into this whole parenting thing, did you find that you did a lot of reflection back on how you were parenting?
Oh, 100% mm-hmm. still.
And it's not even that you know, maybe you find fault with the way your parents did things, or maybe you're just like, I would like to do things a little differently. Not that how they did it was wrong, but...
Right, just different.
Just different. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of looking back at that first and mm-hmm. just kind of... And just thinking about how that's kind of weaved me together into who I am and some of my tendencies to shut down mm-hmm. and maybe mm-hmm. not to be vulnerable. But then... One of the greatest things that yoga has taught me is how to be more vulnerable. And when I see the payoff of that, mm-hmm. I want that for Finn. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I have like the answer of how I'm going to do it other than I'm just going to do it. But I have to figure out, like, my parents did such a good job of like letting us be kids, not having to worry about adult things.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that I want to be vulnerable, like, oh, Finn, mommy's heart is broken.
Right. Sit down, mommy's having a bad day.
Not like he needs to know the ins and outs of adult life.
Right.
Yeah. But I just want him to understand, and especially as a male, to, you know, be able to articulate how he's feeling.
For
and
sure.
I know that's going to be a long road.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, they're doing a lot more of that in schools. And
oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the focuses of our preschool is on like emotional well-being of children. And so the things that they teach them is how to have a healthy self-identity, which is like such a kind of abstract thing.
Do you feel like it's like getting through?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Norba thinks she's the best at everything. So
was that a result of the preschool or
that's me?
Just Norbeth's own personality.
Well, that's true too. But yeah, I do think that that is a helpful thing that I hadn't really thought of, that like you aren't doing it on your own. Like there are actual professionals.
Right.
And when you have strong communities, like, you know, thankfully we do have some grandparents in the picture and mm-hmm. we have you guys, and like we have like this network of people that it's not just
one influence.
Yeah, their acceptance of my emotions, it's not a vacuum. Like they have other people. And I also think some of it is too, like my mom's parents passed away like really tragically when she was young, and she always gave us a very generalized way that they passed away, like mm-hmm. her mom took too much medicine and her dad died of a broken heart. Later we found out it was suicide and an overdose, but she didn't tell us any of that until we were ready to. Like she gave us her generalized answer mm-hmm. until each of us eventually said, wait a second, that actually isn't like a thing. And she said it was when you each asked, and mm-hmm. we were all different ages. I took the longest because I like live in a cartoon Disney movie. But she was like, we still haven't had the conversation. Mom, if you're listening to this, call me about your parents.
Follow-ups.
I don't know what happened to them. But she was like, for you to have put together that was not how that happened made me realize that you were at a place that you could hear that. And I was like, okay, that's probably a pretty good
guide. Like that you were ready for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was and I do really believe that children are very smart and very mm-hmm. intuitive.
Yes.
And I really want to help Finn develop that muscle, that intuition muscle. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good thing that I don't even think about, but that's really good.
I'm always amazed by how much I think children really understand, not at 9 months old, but you know, as they get.
Well, Finn can spend some time with Hannah's son Milan, who like who told my child how dogs don't go to heaven, they just die. So if he which I forgot, Jen has two dogs who are the best, but if you really want,
we love them, we're dog people.
Yeah, your dog is still around. For now.
R.I.P. Sadie.
Sorry, Sadie.
Who is not in heaven.
That's right. Sorry.
No one will assure anyone.
I think other kids help that too. So when you have kind of a network of people with kids that you like trust their parenting, even if it's different than yours. Thanks for teaching about death that way, Hannah.
You know, reality is reality. So. Circle of life.
I have a question though. So if we're talking about like dealing with the unexpected, mm-hmm. you know, obviously our children are going to go through that too. And I feel like the buzzword you're hearing right now is resilience. Like you need to mm-hmm. raise a resilient child. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Like how, to y'all? Like, what does it look like for us to raise resilient children that life cannot turn out, or things, you know, maybe not even life, just like your Little League tryout. You didn't get the position you wanted. Yeah. Like, what does that look like on a fundamental level, like for at the base level for children?
Yeah, I think I've just been thinking about that, not under those terms, but it's funny you bring it up, because like just today, Milan switched shoes with a friend yesterday who has little shoes that are like made for girls. I'm doing air quotes because I hate gender-based clothing.
Yeah.
But he loves them, and they love switching shoes. So like she went to school today with some like black beat up
perfect
secondhand shoes that Milan really came out better in that deal because these shoes are way nicer. And he wanted to wear these shoes to school that have like they're blues and pinks. And I'm like, okay, you could, like, I'm not going to make you change if that's what you want to wear. So, and then he came back home and he was just like casually later, he was like, oh, so-and-so made fun of me because they said my shoes are for girls.
He's four. Why is anyone making fun of him?
I know. Really, well, he didn't say it in a way that was like, they made fun, because I specifically asked him after school, how did school go?
Mm-hmm.
How are your friends?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be like, did anyone say anything about your shoe? But like, he was just like, Later, a couple hours later, he's like, yeah, they're making fun of me because they said my shoes are for girls. And I'm like, well, first of all, clothes are for anyone.
That's a good way to put it.
But I was like, what did you say? Like, are you fine with that? And he was like, well, I was like, do you feel sad? Like, I tend to like project a little bit onto them. It's hard for them to, like, if I ask him if he feels a certain way, he says yes. So I was like, you know, like, it's fine if you're not upset about it, it's fine. Like, you just got to brush it off. Like, just tell them, like, I forget what I told him. I told him some comeback line, but I'm like, I mean, you hear me and Miss Caroline teasing each other all the time.
That's right.
If it's just funny, like, you just, you know, it's fine. People, if you just laugh along, that's it. You know, that'll be the end of it. And because I was like, I don't really want to tell him, like, I don't want to.
You don't want to project on him that his feelings should be hurt if they're
right,
not.
Right. Exactly. Because, like, ultimately, people are going to have opinions forever. I'm not going to change society today and say, like, everyone can wear whatever they want. But I just want him to be confident in going that I, like,
it's okay if other people aren't on board with what he's doing.
Right.
As long as he's on board with
what
he's
exactly.
doing.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on board with it, just let it, like, just brush it off, kind of, like, laugh along with it is, like, what I always want. That's the message I want to send is, like, because that's the most, that's a power play. Like,
yeah.
If you can laugh along with it.
Well, the three things that I feel like you do really well that I have tried to emulate in my... Yeah, buckle up. You will say if one of the kids asks you if something is cool, you always respond, do you think it's cool?
Oh, yeah, I read that somewhere.
And they always say yes.
I got that from someone else, like a professional.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't have to tell me that. I would have quoted you.
I am now an expert.
But truly, like, any kid will come up to Hannah and be like, do you think this is cool? And she's like, do you? And they always say yes. And she's like, then it is. And you have said that you want your kids to see healthy arguments, for lack of a better word, between you and your husband.
Yeah. Makes the rest of my family uncomfortable, but.
Okay, sure. But because you want them to see that that exists in relationships, that like conflict exists.
That no one has to be submissive.
Right.
You can say whatever you want and you don't have to feel like you have to hide things.
Yeah. I haven't actually put that into practice yet, but I think about it a lot.
Argue more.
Well, no, it's because David and I never argue.
Oh, David and I don't have problems.
Yeah, we're the perfect couple. So it's because we never see each other.
I was going to say.
Thanks, 17-hour days.
Be around to have arguments.
That's true. And the way that you parent, like, our kids in group settings is if they come to us complaining about another child, you'll say, we'll go talk to them about it. Like,
right. It's all based in empowerment.
Yeah. Mm, but like, also in their ability to own their own emotions. Just say, like, I'm feeling angry. I'm not going to go report that to someone else. I can go tell someone that they made me feel that way.
Yeah.
So Hannah does that really well. For resilience, for me, like, I really value that even before it kind of became a buzzword and have wanted it for my kids. And it goes back to what you were saying, that you can hold two emotions in one hand, that, like, in each hand.
Just
and
a powerful
live in the
thing
moment,
to realize.
That you can be feeling really sad, but that does not mean your life is sad.
Yes.
That it is okay. And we talk about this a lot with my girls of, like, are you feeling angry right now? That's okay. Like, I'll talk to them if I lose my temper with them. I'll later say, I wish that I hadn't yelled. You were making me really unhappy, but I love you so much. Like, what I have them quote back to me all the time, they have like a little thing that they say now. I'll say, you make me so, and they say back to me, happy. And I'll say, you don't have to do and they say anything, and I'll say, because God made you, and they'll say, perfect for you. And where it's like, all of the things at the end of our day, like I may have been really frustrated or lost my temper or, you know, been impatient, but it doesn't define how I feel about them. So the same of if they really wanted baseball and it doesn't work for them, that doesn't define them. Mm-hmm. Right. But it is so healthy for them to feel disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Like I was not a natural athlete. I got cut from plenty of teams.
Yeah, same.
Still would. But I do feel like I learned my parents always called them character building experiences, so we use that kind of as a joke now.
Yeah, it's now a joke.
Yeah, it always happened to me. Yeah. A lot of character building experiences. I didn't get into the schools that I thought I was going to.
Amazing character.
Yeah. I'm actually a martyr, so if anyone wants to have their kids learn, come follow my life. But I think that my mom really taught me of like, you can choose to let that define you. So there's a difference between being owned by your emotions and recognizing them. And then giving them power over you. So, like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
can sit in that and be like, I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. My life isn't a failure. I'm not a failure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
Like, this is a feeling I'm feeling. This is a thing that happened. But it's, like, there's not something wrong with me.
Yeah, so, like, when you were saying...
I'm not a loser. I'm not
a... Yeah. Right. Like, when you were saying that in those early days, like, you were worried about projecting shame and, you know, all of these things on Finn, those were really valid emotions that you were feeling, but that doesn't mean they were true of you.
Right.
Because you could look at, but I am so winning because I have this beautiful miracle bowl way that mm-hmm. I am doing this on my own.
Again, it's like choosing your focus.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
And I think we can do that with our kids too. It's like you can choose to focus on all the things that are going wrong or going mm-hmm. bad or that you didn't get or that you don't have or the toy that so-and-so has yes. that you want. You can choose to focus on the lack and all that mm-hmm. stuff that is mm-hmm. wrong. And or you can choose to focus on all the freaking amazing things yeah. that you have going for you.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I read something. One of my clients is a nonprofit that works with impoverished communities and the homeless. And one of the things that we read is in like upwardly mobile families, the ratio of positive things to a child versus negative things is like 6 to 1. So for every 1 negative thing you say to your child, they also hear 6 positive things about themselves. Where in an unhealthy, toxic family structure, which it tends to be an impoverished culture, they hear 3 negatives for every 1 positive about themselves. And when you think about like how that would structure your emotional health, mm-hmm. like I do think about that. Not that I keep tabs on how many good things, but like I make it second nature to tell my kids like, I really like that you're working hard on that. It's not always like you're the best. It's you are so creative for everyone so that they know my definition of them doesn't live in what they messed up.
Right.
That's really good advice.
So anyway, it's just what I learned in that I have tried to be more aware of mm-hmm. as I talk to my kids.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I just remembered my sick comeback because
for Milan,
and I was coming up with it. It made me think I was like Caroline would say this.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was like, just go up and tell them it's cute that you think these are for girls.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Doesn't that sound like something you would say?
Yeah, kind of. When I went through a character building 4 years of school,
like
when I didn't have any friends, I wasn't allowed to say shut up or like any kind of comeback. So they would tell me to shut up a lot. And so I came up with this one. Are you ready?
Ready.
My shut up machine is out of order. So shut up yourself and save a quarter. It didn't
too
help
long for an episode title.
It didn't help at all.
It's weird. I can't imagine why.
But I felt awesome because I wasn't allowed to say shut up. But that comeback lets me say it 2 times.
Don't tell my mom, though, please.
Yeah, please don't. And mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Well, do you have anything else that you wanted to tackle with Jen over here?
I just think the thing about being able to feel 2 things at once.
Yes.
I'm just like sitting with that still. Like, I just think that's really, I don't know, something I might have to sit with for a while. It's really valuable.
Yeah. And, my therapist moved and changed her number and hasn't given it to me. So if yours wants to give me, there's a promise that
she's been
I'm a
looking
good
for a while.
We bring it up every episode just in case Erica tunes in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're crossing our fingers for that.
No.
No, I don't think anything. We can maybe take a break and then talk about our good ideas at the time.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us for this topic, Jen, and sharing that. I mean, your insight is really, really phenomenal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Cool. All right. We'll be right back.
All right. Well, our good idea segment of the week, I will start off with something about one of your Instagram posts, Jen.
Oh, dear.
You posted something. I don't even know, like a few weeks ago. I'm not like, I don't catch people's posts when they put it. I'll see it and it'll be like, they uploaded
algorithm.
This 3 days. I hate that algorithm. Because then I like it. And I'm like, this person posted this 5 days ago.
They think that I'm like a total
creepy.
Stalker. Right.
But you posted something about a salad with like canned salmon and it looks so good. And like for like weeks, I was like, I'm going to buy canned salmon. And I did. Like, I bought
did
everything.
Did you get the wrong one?
Well, is there a wrong one?
Well, there's one with like skin and
bones.
Yeah,
some of them have skin and bones in there.
As much as I love Aldi, they have one with skin and bones.
Oh, I did get it from Aldi.
So does Whole Foods.
I mean, the salmon was fine. That wasn't a
thing. I made salmon burgers with one without knowing that it had skin and bones. So I like bit into it. I was like, crunch.
I didn't even know canned salmon existed before the post. So that opened my eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
That's all I ate in college.
Really?
My roommates loved me.
Bougie.
Yeah.
Well, tuna is the poor people's food.
No, I steamed broccoli every day in our dorm microwave.
Oh, and then I'm sure your dorm smelled good. Broccoli and salmon.
And I would heat up canned salmon and melt a slice of low-fat provolone over it. And that was my lunch every day.
Oh my gosh.
So weird. I had those character building years.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to derail you,
those
Hannah.
Years are really stretching from high school into college. Is this when you weren't allowed to say shut up as well?
Yeah, guys, my shut up machine is still out of order.
But anyway, so I'm like, so I had like planned it as a meal to be like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this for the week because it looks super easy to put together. I loved everything that was in it. And I like comes to like lunchtime, I'm starving and I like can't find the lettuce anywhere. And I'm like, I purchased this. Like, I remember picking it up and then I'm like, I can't, it's not in the fridge. So I'm like, did I purchase? Like, it comes to that point where you're like,
right.
Did I put
crazy?
It back? Like, am I losing it? Did I pick it up and put it back? Like, I had no memory. It turned into like, I'm just like, well, now what? Because I've like half started this.
Right.
So I ended up making it over quinoa, I think, or brown rice. And it ended up being very similar. And now it's like a staple just because you put up something about canned salmon. But like the next day, I was opening my pantry.
Oh, no.
And I found this bin of like salad greens tucked in the back.
Why did you do that?
I did.
Oh my God. I just understand this so much right now.
my kids are just like wanting to help with everything.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, let me help with groceries away. And I'm like, okay, you adorable little things. And they like placed the greens like in the back there. And I'm like,
I thought you were having a mom moment where, like, you put the canned salmon in the fridge the lettuce in the pantry. I do that all the time. I'll have two things in my hand, and I'll, like, throw away the thing that I meant to put in the dishwasher.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, my God, I threw the knife away, and I'm holding the avocado pit.
Like, well, I have
no proof that that isn't what happened.
Yeah,
it could have been.
I keep throwing the girls' pajamas away because our kitchen trash can is really close to our, like, hamper.
Yeah.
Because we have our laundry downstairs next to our kitchen. And I'll like open the trash can and be like, what are these pajamas doing? Like trying to remind myself, like, are there holes
the dog
in them? And
put
I'm like,
them in.
Yeah, it's always the dog.
Yeah. No. I guess I'm blaming the kids, but I don't have evidence that they did it.
I apologize on your behalf, Maya Milan. I know it wasn't you.
They seem like the likely culprits, but it could have been me too. So anyway, it was a good idea to eat. It is a good idea to eat healthy, but I don't know. Keep track of yourself, people. It's hard out there.
It is. And speaking of it's hard out there, I hope that Norma's karate class is listening to this because I thought that we were going to do karate and like kill it. Like we are going to be there on time. It's only a 30-minute class, which is much better than the 1 hour basketball practice for her. But that means if you're late,
yeah,
it's like over. So our first class, we were running a little bit late. The girls heard me say shit for the first time because Google Maps took me the wrong way through this neighborhood that, of course, Google Maps didn't know they'd gated it. And so I get to the end of the neighborhood that I'm supposed to get my connecting road and there's like a gate under construction. And I was like, shit. And my kids are like, what was that word? I'm like, nothing.
That was Spanish.
I'm like, remember, I love you. You make me so happy. So we get to karate. I'm sweating profusely. I knew when we got in the car that Anna Blair had a poopy diaper, but I didn't want to stop and change it because we were already going to be running late. And I was like, well, I'll just change it when we get to the karate studio. And she's two, so she has like 2-year-old poops. She's not like my 8-month-old. So we're laying.
I don't know. 9-month-old poops are pretty, like, pretty real these days.
So I like lay her down on the chairs while Nora Beth's like practicing her kias and smash elbows. And Anna Blair's like screaming at me that it's a big poop, and it's the poop.
And she is not quiet.
She is not. She has one volume, and it is piercing. Yeah. And so I take it off, and she was right. It was very big. I realized I don't have wipes. I'd left them in the van, but like, what am I going to do at this point, right? Like, so I take
run her under the sink.
Yeah, in the karate studio that I don't know even has a bathroom. This is like her first day.
Oh my gosh!
And so I like am pulling other diapers out of the diaper bag to like try to like just clean up enough. But in my frenzy of trying to make this fast, I knock the diaper off the chair that she's in, like smack down on the floor of the karate studio. And like, I hear it make like a smack. And I was like, oh my God, like they're never going to let us.
Ma'am, we actually don't need your money.
Right. We do not need you. I don't care. Like, this is also not your daughter's spiritual gift. You need to go. So like Jane
Perhaps
Ellis.
Some at-home reading would be.
Yeah. Take some YouTube classes.
Yeah.
So Jane Ellis is like crawling over to investigate, and I'm like trying to keep it together because Norbeth like keeps giving me thumbs up from the mat, and I'm like, you're right, thumbs effing up. I don't know what's happening. So I'm like just trying to like scoop all the poop up.
Oh.
And I, when we finally got back in the car after the whole thing was over, I realized I never cleaned it up.
Whoa.
I cleaned up the diaper, but not the like under
part.
Gosh. And so I had to email them after, and I was like, I'm really sorry. The lady next to me made this huge mess. No, I'm just kidding. I did tell them I was really sorry.
She had brown hair and
yeah, it was weird.
Did they respond?
No. But we've been back to another class, and I bowed like you're supposed to in karate and said, hello, sir. And they said, hello, ma'am, back. So hopefully.
I brought many wipes. Yeah. I don't know if that matters.
Weird. Every time that I bring all three in, they're like, oh, all of them today. And I'm like,
no, still all of them. I still have three.
Yeah, and they're all here. I'm really sorry about the diaper thing.
I have three children.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's like encouraging you.
That should encourage anyone. Yeah. I don't know why not.
So about resilience.
Resilience as a mom.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like next linked a level of strength that you never even
that's true.
And resourcefulness that you never even knew.
Well,
you
I was supposed to do a workout at home later that night, but I was like so wrung out from
that.
I'm
sure
you were.
I was emotionally exhausted.
I was anaerobic. I was sweaty, and like all at the same time, I'm trying to be like, good job, Norbeth. You're looking great. Jane Ellis, you're so cute down on the floor. Annabelle, you're doing great with that stupid poopy diaper. Like,
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good idea last weekend to take Finn to his first like little gym class, you know. My gym and little gym.
Oh, those are so cute.
So a friend of ours invited us to go to class, but their daughter, she just turned a year, maybe a month ago. So she's maybe like 13 months old, and Finn's almost 10. Well, he was the youngest in the class because I guess it was like a waddler's class.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of go up to like, ish. I feel like two or something.
Yeah, they get it pretty tall.
So he was the smallest baby in the class, and he's crawling, but he's not climbing.
Right, right.
So the poor thing, it was his nap time when the class started,
no,
but
always.
We had committed to meeting them, and I'm like, we can just push the nap.
Yeah.
So he looks like he's going to fall asleep while I'm like, have fun, Finn.
Enjoy this.
And he can't do half
anything.
The activities.
Yeah.
And then they bring out a trapeze, and they're like, now we're going to practice grip.
Oh, my gosh.
And guys, I have a private Instagram page for these kind of things, thank God, because I don't know that I would ever post this publicly, but the teacher goes, do you want Finn to try? And I was like,
what are you going to say?
An exercise and saying
So he hangs on to this little bar, and she puts her hands over his, and she like swings him back, and she's like, okay, mom, now he's going to swing to you. And it's like a legit trapeze, and my little baby. Y'all, I took a picture of him, and his face is like, mom,
what are you doing?
So I decided a better idea would be to wait until he's a little bigger to go back. We also had our first hitting experience in that class where this little boy that was like twice his size came up and just started hitting him on the head.
Oh my gosh.
I was like shocked. I was like, this is happening.
Yeah, and you don't know
what to do. You got to like tell yourself, you're like, this is
also a child. Well, he didn't cry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't freak out because I knew if I freaked out, he would freak out. And the kid's dad like swooped in and was like, we don't hit. So I let them have their moment. And I was like, okay, just keep playing.
You okay?
You can encourage him to be like, well, tell him how you felt about that. That's what Hannah would be like. Don't talk to me. Talk to each other.
Yeah.
But it is. Oh my gosh. Well, I took Norbeth to when I had left my corporate job. when she was like 5 weeks old, I was like, I'm going to go all in on the stay at home mom thing. So I took her to a library story time class. Okay, at 5 weeks old, like she didn't do anything.
Weeks. Oh my God.
Like, because in my mind, it's like newborn. Extra. It's zero to, you know, 18 months.
Yeah, they say zero.
So I like have her in my lap and I'm like, isn't this fun? I'm like, she is like.
Probably sleeping at 5 weeks old.
She was. Probably so it was like me sitting there like singing when I realized like the other moms are not singing. They are letting their children like engage and they're talking to each other.
Right.
And here's this like 29-year-old woman like, the wheels on the bus go. Like, while my newborn is asleep. We didn't go back to that library.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh man. That was a good, it sounds like a good
idea. That was really good.
That was better than ours.
You're going to have to text us that picture of it. I just need to see that face.
I will. Poor baby. That's hilarious. Thank God they don't like remember things.
Yeah.
I think that all the time. But
oh my gosh.
Anyway, thank you so much for being here, Jen. This was so fun. And do you want to say your handles where people can find you?
Yeah. So online, peanutbutterrunner.com is my blog. It's don't get scared away by the runner part.
Sure.
Minimal running these days. It's mostly just asterisk. Lifestyle. Lots of baby. Yeah. I said like I'm not going to become a. It's not going to become all baby, but then y'all, like,
there's no other option.
It is your life.
I like how you've embraced, like, you've put up a couple, like, I have him and he's not napping, so we're doing this together. And, like, it makes it look very doable to do, like, an at-home circuit.
Well, I wouldn't call it doable, but it's figure outable.
right. Yeah.
Like, you got to get really creative around that.
But, you know, it is true. Before you have kids, you think that you can segment it. And then it's you can't. It is everything
in
your
world. He weaves
into,
everything. Like, I can't just leave him out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, peanutbutterrunner.com. And then on Instagram, Jen_PBRunner. Mm-hmm.
And we'll link them in the show notes as well. So if you're listening to this in the car, we got you covered. And if you have not yet, please rate, review, and subscribe. And take advantage of our elderberry syrup promo through our friends Essentially Home. They are offering 15% off of all elderberry products using code GOODIDEA. And that would be two words, all lowercase. GOODIDEA. All right. Well, Jen, thank you again so much for being here. Hannah, thanks for being you.
You are welcome. And so you're going to say for being here?
Sure.